Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Bobby Laporte, CEO at Bobby Laporte & Associates and the host of Executive Aid Station. In today's competitive and dynamic executive marketplace, we believe that leadership is an endurance event, and we are here to provide the support that today's leaders need. Our show guests are executives who have successfully achieved a balanced life, as well as experts who share their strategies for living and leading mindfully and for gaining a competitive edge in the workplace. Today's special guest is Sandra Clark, who is widely recognized as a master of LinkedIn. Sandra provides coaching services and workshops to help busy professionals build their online brand and showcase their expertise by creating great profiles on LinkedIn. She started her career as a teacher and theater director before moving into educational administration, working for the University of California system, and providing corporate training to Silicon Valley for more than 25 years before starting her own company called LinkedIn Mentoring. So Sandra, welcome to the Executive Aid Station show.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
Well, we're very excited to have you. This is such a hot topic. There's lots of people who have opinions about LinkedIn, and obviously it's very important because you have a dedicated business to it. So let's get started. One of the things I wanted to ask you, and I referred to this in the intro, you have such an interesting background. You've done some extensive travel. You've been involved in acting and producing plays. So I'm interested in learning more about your journey to being a successful entrepreneur in Silicon Valley. And then what inspired you to specialize in working with clients on LinkedIn?
I used to hide my background a little bit because it didn't feel very Silicon Valley corporate. So it's so much fun doing my business now because I get to make sense of all the strange things I've done in my life. So I was a theater director. I used to make people look good on stage. Now I get to make them look good on the stage of LinkedIn. On my LinkedIn profile in the past, I used to just have my, my master's degree in that, but I didn't put what it was in. And now I get to sort of own that, all that I am. I used to be a teacher, and once a teacher, to be honest, always a teacher.
Always a teacher.
Can't help myself. So now I get to do that and people pay me for it. And I've always loved to coach people, mentor people. Mm-hmm. And now I get to show them how to do that on LinkedIn and doing so many different things. I relate to my clients. I've done long-term jobs. I've been laid off. I've done short-term jobs. I've been contract jobs. So I understand all of that complexity about how you position yourself on LinkedIn when you have a diverse background.
So your own personal work experience, as well as your personal job sort of search and transition experience, it helps to inform how you advise clients today.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you live in Silicon Valley, everybody's got to do their own startup at least once, right?
That's right.
So I'm a little late to the game, but it's fun to do it.
Well, I love your point about making people look good on stage and now having people look good on the stage of LinkedIn, because it really is, with, I don't know what now, 400 million subscribers or something crazy, it really is a global stage. Mm-hmm. So that's, that analogy is great. It really makes a lot of sense. So that's kind of starting with the basics. Why should today's busy executive take time to be on LinkedIn? Like, really, so why is it important? Why should they
Well,
care?
I think your clients probably all have profiles of some kind, but it's
most of them do.
If you don't have a LinkedIn profile, it's almost like you don't exist, especially in the professional world. If I go to a networking event and I meet someone, they get their business card, I go back and I look them up on LinkedIn. If I can't find them, I actually don't know what to do with the card. So I'm too nice to put it directly in the circular file. It goes into a basket for 6 months and then it moves because I don't know what to do with that that card. So you need to be there and you need to be seen not just by potential employers. A lot of people are not looking for jobs. A lot of my clients are not. They're happy where they are, but they do want to be seen as a manager of choice or a thought leader perhaps. So all the people that are looking at you are potential employees who are looking and saying, hey, do I want to work for this idiot? Am I going to get to work on cool projects? Boy, they've been in the same position 5 years. That means there's going to be no opportunity for me. Potential bosses as you move up within your own company are maybe taking a look and seeing how are you representing the company. Clients, all kinds of people you just might not think who's looking at you. So you need to take that all into account.
So it's really, what you're saying, it's really important for people to be seen, because the right in this connected environment that we're in, there's multiple kinds of people, employers, potential people coming to work for you, strategic partners, clients. I mean, I agree with you. When I go to meet somebody, that's the first place, or if somebody mentions someone to me, that's the first place I go, is to go there to just sort of check that person out. So at the bare minimum, right, you need to have a presence.
Right. And it's what's called social proof. So if I look at you and I see very few connections, very minimal profile, what is that? I don't necessarily think well of you. You know, your reputation may be beyond that, so it doesn't matter, but you really can't take that for granted.
So I love that concept of social proof, because it really is something about the age that we live in. Mm-hmm. I'll just relate it just real quick, a quick story. I was talking to a group of executives about just sort of general, this topic, but in the context of something broader, just about having a strong network. And one of the gentlemen in the group said to me, he has a son who is the driver for somebody at that point was a really well-known executive in Silicon Valley. And he said he was driving this gentleman someplace to a meeting, and he was on the phone with somebody, and they were talking about a candidate that they were getting ready to hire. And the executive said to the person on the other end of the phone, what does this person's LinkedIn profile look like? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the response was, but it must have been something like, well, he doesn't have one, or it's very thin, or he doesn't have many connections, because the executive responded, if he can't network for himself, how mm-hmm. is he going to network for us?
Exactly. I love that story.
So it's a really, you know, and I use that as a cautionary tale about, you know, this isn't just like plastering something up there. You know, it can have real impact in your career.
Absolutely.
As you've found. So let's talk about profiles. We talked earlier about this, like many people are not maximizing their profiles. So what, when you're talking to people in some of your workshops and sessions, what are the basic things that people should be looking at to make sure that they have to be able to demonstrate this social proof you mentioned?
Well, there's the kind of basic level. You need to have your picture. Sorry, no excuses. I don't care what you think about the way you look. You need to have it there so that you don't look like spam. And you need your headline, which should not be just your job title and company. You need to take control of that. That's a very important part of how people see you. You need to have your summary. A lot of people are so uncomfortable about what to put in their summary. They either do this horrible thing that's like at the top of their resume.
Right.
Or they have nothing. They cop out entirely. And this is your opportunity. It's your 30-second elevator pitch to introduce yourself, to let people know more about you. So I see people copping out of doing that for whatever reason, and you really need to do that. You need to have your experience. You know, there's other things, your education, accomplishments, volunteer work. There's room for a lot of other things. If they support your brand, then include them. Recommendations are great because, again, that's part of that social proof. Somebody is willing to put themselves on the line because their name and profile are linked directly to the recommendation they have for you. So there are so many things you can add and get a little overwhelmed, but if they've got the basics in a fairly rich way, they're still ahead of many other people.
Sandra, what do you suggest people, I get this question a lot, include in their summary?
Okay, it is a little different according to your purpose. So it should be what I call client facing. Now the client is going to vary. If you're a job seeker, the client is your potential employer. What are you going to do for them? If you have your own business, what are you going to do for the potential client who would hire you? If you are a manager of choice and you want people to see you as someone they want to work for, then your client, if you like, client facing, are potential employees. And so the summary should include something about who you are, what your experience is that's brought you to this point, and what's important to you. And we can only see the first three lines before we click on show more.
Show more, right.
So in general terms, what I say, you want an intriguing statement that is something that makes people want to learn more about you. My attempt at intriguing is I specialize in social media for the socially reluctant. Hopefully that will get people to open and read more.
Right.
An intriguing statement, what it is that you are going to do for them, your client. You're going to help leaders get ready for anything as you do. You're going to bring a team together to improve results and potentially a call to action. What it is you want people to do. And you can do all of that in your first three lines, which I've done. You know, I want people to contact me for a consultation. You might just want people to connect with you on LinkedIn to grow your business network or start a conversation, but tell them what you want them to do. So in loosely, intriguing, what you do and a call to action.
And that's a good point. Thank you about the three, only seeing three lines. And I think is it the same on the mobile app or is it?
No, it's even shorter.
It's limited number of characters, right?
Yeah.
Shorter.
They have those on the mobile. It's about, I know, something like 45 characters. So not much. So you need to be basically my intriguing statement shows on my mobile and nothing else.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. So an intriguing statement and most, I think very importantly, a call to action.
Mm-hmm.
One other question on that. Do you encourage people to include something personal, make it more sort of like giving a more sort of rounded view of who they are? So this is what I do as a professional. This is my value proposition. Here's also something personal about me. So when someone comes there, they see something other than the work kind of profile, or is that not considered appropriate?
That's gone through changes over the years. We used to very much teach that you should include some personal information in your summary. And your summary is to show in full. And so you would put a little bit about your outside interests. It's less so now. And I think it depends very much on you, what your brand is.
Mm-hmm.
So if your brand, a part of who you are, is very committed to your community and involvement. Now you've got down below in the volunteer work, perhaps that you work for the Scouts, Boy Scouts of America, or you're involved in some charity. But you can include that in your summary that commitment to my community mm-hmm. is very important to me. A realtor absolutely should include that. Somebody who's working with a local community,
someone
who's a manager and grows teams of people, showing that they mentor people, that they're very committed to doing that, absolutely is a value added. If you're in business, if it's relevant to who you are. I mean, if mentoring women and being involved in a women's organization is part of who you are and part of who your clients are, then absolutely. So I'm going to say it depends. No straight answer on that one. Sorry.
That's right. Got it. Yes. But as you said, always based on your goal and it should be on brand.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of the common mistakes people use. You've referred to a couple of them, but I'm sure that there's a probably an exhaustive list of things that you see when you're doing reviews of people's LinkedIn profiles. So what are the most common mistakes that people make?
Well, of course, the most common one is letting LinkedIn choose your headline. When you start a new job and you add that to LinkedIn, the default, unless you uncheck the box, is going to be that title and the name of the company. So you've got VP of Engineering at NetSuite. Well, you've got 120 characters to work with, and you are so much more than that. Now, depending on what your business is, you might not even need to include your title at all. Some people train that you don't put, it's a waste of space to put your title at all. I actually don't think so if that's an important part of your brand identity. Having your title and where you work is immediately visible when people are searching for you or you post something. So it could be important, but you can add to that with what's unique about you. You know, you're changing the world one bot at a time. I don't know. You're doing something. So headline, absolutely. Don't let LinkedIn choose it for you. Create your own.
Okay, great.
Then not doing a summary at all. Popping out of that, I can't tell you how common that is. and or not making it client focused, but doing that horrible resume style. And then the biggest one for me is on LinkedIn, my whole idea is that you make a connection to start a conversation, to grow a relationship that might lead to opportunities.
Right.
So part of that is I always send a personal message when I ask someone to connect. Now that not only introduces myself, it also reminds them where we met or how they know me. That information stays in LinkedIn. So 5 years from now, I can tell you why I connected with someone. But we're now starting a conversation. If somebody writes to me and I just to connect and I decide to accept them, even though they haven't done a message, I will write a message back to them. And sometimes people are so startled that I start the most interesting conversations with people. Mm-hmm. It's like nobody's ever done that before. And I'm not trying to sell them anything. I'm just starting conversations like, oh, I noticed, you know, we went to school together, that you worked at the same place, that we have 50 connections in common. How the heck is it that we've never actually met in person before? And then that conversation, you know, I offer, is there anything I can do to help? And they might ask me for something not necessarily related to LinkedIn, but, you know, oh, I see you do a lot of speaking. Could you recommend some places where they might be interested in me speaking? Nothing directly related to business. I just want to be helpful. Right. And then that might lead to opportunity. So there are so many other things, mistakes, but those are the three biggies for me.
And I completely agree with the your comment about when you reach out to people to make a connection, to make it personal. I get those. Bobby, I want to join your professional network. And I know it's just sort of a, you know, that screen that comes up on LinkedIn says, here's some people you may want to connect with.
Right. And you know, even worse nowadays, they're actually customizing, but they're doing things like, I stumbled upon your profile and thought it might be good to connect. You know, if you're going to personalize, come on, don't make me think that, you know, what am I, a boulder in the street or something? You fall over me.
Well, so this is a related question around connection. So I'm sure you get this question. Sometimes I do. You know, who do I connect with, right? There's the LinkedIn, the Lions, the open networkers who connect with anybody and everybody. And then there's other,
call them prostitutes.
That, right. And then other people who are much more discerning about, I'll only connect with somebody if I've met them. And then people in between. And I know there's pros and cons to both. For business professionals, again, going back to your goal and why do you have a profile and what do you want people to know about you? Is there a rule of thumb that you recommend to people about how and who and when you connect?
Absolutely. It's going to depend a little bit on your brand and your business. Like if you work with a very small, high net worth group of connections, maybe you're going to keep it small and maybe that's appropriate for you. But in general, I recommend people connect to people you know, people you'd like to know, and people who know people you'd like to know. And that rule of thumb pretty much works. You know, don't discredit people because you think, oh, they're in a low-level position. That low-level position might be your boss in a few years.
Right.
The administrative assistant might mean that you're now connected to the CEO by just 2 degrees away. So in general, that, and I also recommend as a rule of thumb about 30 connections for every year of your age as a minimum. And that's based on, you probably meet 30 people professionally a year easily. So why would you not connect with them on LinkedIn? Now, if you're an active business development or something, then that number is going to be even larger.
Larger,
but
right.
I usually push people a little past their comfort zone.
So you made a good point about connecting with people who are connected to people that you would like to know.
Mm-hmm.
So I have never really thought about it that way. When I get an invite from someone, unless it looks like somebody who might be trying to sell me something,
right?
You know, I'll usually say yes. But I think what you're suggesting is that I look at that person's profile and I see, you can see who your common connections are. But
right.
I guess you could sort of, you know, infer somehow by, well, this person works in a company that I'm interested in, or this person is in a geographic location I'm interested in learning more about, to be able to sort of make some assumptions about the potential connections that they might have that would benefit you.
Absolutely. And then if I do accept that connection, I write that message I'm basically telling them why I've accepted them.
Why?
I see we're both members of Women in Consulting, or I see that, you know, whatever, and start that conversation. So it's going to be different for someone in my world. I have a relatively small network, about 4,000 connections, because with social media and that's supposed to be just grow it crazily. I just can't do that. I'm not wired that way. I want to make it more meaningful.
Right. Right. Some people would say 4,000 connections is a lot. Right.
But for my world, it's small.
For your world, correct. The magic number used to be 500 people, and people would go, well, I got to that right. Magic.
But I can now. Relax now. And
yeah, I can relax now. So I have a question about just sort of LinkedIn, social media platforms in general, but LinkedIn in particular, because I've, like you, I'm in and out of there several times a day, and I'm starting to see, maybe not a saturation point, but I'm starting to see a lot of content that doesn't seem really business related. You know, I'm not sure that I would always call it inappropriate, but for people who want to post, how do you advise them on, you know, what's relevant, what's appropriate, and then also sort of the frequency? I mean, how often do you suggest people post, and what should they be posting that is valuable and that's business related? Because there's so much other stuff out there now, I think you would agree with.
It depends on your brand and who you are. So yes, there's a lot of stuff out there, and there are ways of making your newsfeed much more valuable. And there are also ways of teaching the algorithm of LinkedIn what you're interested in, but that's a whole big topic on its own. But in general, if you're staying true to your brand, so for example, I'm not the kind of person that posts inspirational, you know, a picture with an inspirational statement across it. Not my brand, just kind of, I hope I'm inspirational, but that's not my thing. I don't do that. But for somebody who's a coach, life coach or something, maybe it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. So the type of thing you post should be appropriate to what you're doing. If you're a manager in a company, you might be talking about your company business. You might be talking about leadership, what it means to you to be a leader, some of the things your employees are doing, how you mentor. Maybe you're talking about the successes of some of your mentees. Many things according to what your brand is. So there's different types of content. There's video content, pictures, short form posts, long form posts. Some of it depends on how much time you have. There are things like how things are seen, like LinkedIn does not like links. So if you put a link in LinkedIn, it's not going to get a lot of visibility. But then that's people behavior. People don't want to bother to click on the link. So there's all that strategy of the kind of thing you post. But so long as the type of thing you're posting is true to brand, sticking to that question, what do you post? And then how often?
Frequency.
It's a combination of, now we can blame the algorithm, but the algorithm is learning from people behavior. So if you're just pushing content out there all the time, and I see that sometimes with people that are using a posting service, and you'll see something's posted every day, but you'll see zero likes or comments. So why bother? So in general, if you're using LinkedIn as part of your business, you want to post maybe 2 to 3 times a week is plenty, but you're active on LinkedIn every day, because the algorithm of LinkedIn rewards you for being active, rewards you, meaning they show your content more and people see you, they engage, they interact with you more. So maybe one day you're just liking and sharing, commenting on somebody else's stuff, or you're congratulating somebody. So you're doing a mix of things. So you're doing something every day, but only posting a couple or so.
So is what you're saying in terms of the algorithm, if you're just active, as you said, whether you're congratulating somebody or liking or sharing something, when you actually go to post yourself, your post will...
It's more likely to be seen, because all those people that you've interacted with, it means it's more likely to show in their newsfeed, because in general, when you post something, it goes into the newsfeed of perhaps 10% of your entire network. So if you've got 1,000 connections, it's actually only going into maybe the newsfeed of 100, and then they're only seeing it if they happen to be looking at their newsfeed at that time. And you can increase that by activity. If they're liking commenting your stuff, it's going to escalate and go into more people's newsfeed.
Ah, my goodness. I never knew that.
It's a bit of a game, and people try to game the system sometimes. But, you know, if you really don't get caught up in the algorithm and just think about people, what would people like to see? If I'm just taking or pushing, I'm not really doing much of a value.
Right, just making valuable contributions. Excellent. Oh, that's really, really, really good advice. What about for business, posting to, if you're an executive professional company, posting to the company's business page? I know there may be some internal rules about that, but
I'm chuckling because you get a free pass on this. Don't bother.
Really?
I mean, it's a little more complicated than that, but in general, the content on company pages is not pushed out very much. So very few people see it or engage with it. So to have some content on your company page is maybe a good thing to do. So if people do go there, they will see some activity, but it's not a particularly good use of your time. You'd be much better off posting on your own profile than on the company page. Sorry.
No, interesting. I did not know that, but well, that's very helpful. I was not aware of that. So you're better off investing your time and posting on your own profile.
Absolutely.
Excellent. We've covered a lot of ground. There's a couple of other subjects I know you and I talked about. One is how do you create thought leadership and a brand platform on LinkedIn. That's a much broader topic that I would love to have you come back and maybe we'll just focus on that and spend some more time helping our audience better understand how they can use the platform of LinkedIn to establish thought leadership. But everything we've covered today has been super helpful. And I know I've learned a few things. I'm going to go back to my LinkedIn profile and take a fresh look now and see what are some of the things that I might need to change. If a couple of questions, Sandra, as we wrap up, if someone needs help, like we all do with LinkedIn, how do you work with them and what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Right. Well, I primarily do one-on-one coaching. It's virtual, so people can be anywhere in the world. And it's easy to set up an appointment going to my website, linkedinmentoring.com. And under contact, there's a place to click on to set up a complimentary consultation. And we can just chat about what your needs and goals are and how I can help you. And they can connect with me on LinkedIn with a message. And they can email me. But it's, I love working with people, finding where they are at their point and then pushing them along to the next level. So they might be beginners or they may feel very uncomfortable about being online, and I'll just move them a little further ahead. And I work with a lot of marketing people because it's like the cobbler's children. They're great at marketing other people, but not so much themselves. But just reach out, connect, and have a conversation.
That's how it should start. Absolutely. Well, Sandra, thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure having you on our show today. I've enjoyed the conversation and appreciate the insights and advice for our listeners. As I said, I know there's some changes that I will be making, taking a look at on my LinkedIn profile.
Excellent. You'll have to tell me what they are so I can take a look.
I will. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. That's it for today's show. Please visit our website, www.bobbylaporte.com, and sign up for our Executive Aid Station updates. I look forward to sharing our next episode of Executive Aid Station, so stay tuned.